Hi, basketball fans. The Hardwood Huddle is back. And that guy, Bill Ingram, the Yoda, the Jedi Knight of the basketball world. That's right. He is with me right now. My name is Randy Zellia from BackSportsPage.com. And guys, we're here.
The NBA season. Of the... No, that doesn't work.
As long as you're not Lord Vader, we're good.
Right.
We're
good.
Yeah, you
that's
don't want to
Kawhi
be
Kawhi Leonard. I think that's Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, we have
no rules to keep me on the basketball court.
Kawhi, we want to talk to you, but there will not be a lot of load management this year. You're going to have to play some games. Listen, my contract said 25 games during the regular season and 5 playoff games. That's what I'm getting paid my $128 million for. Okay?
Yep.
Work with me. Bill, in the last episode, we broke down the Eastern Conference, and we're put some attention here to the Western Conference. But the last time we spoke, Drew Holiday was a member of the Portland Trailblazers, and now is a member of the Boston Celtics. I think we have to address it real quick. We were sitting there saying that no team in the East really improved themselves to become championship worthy. Now you have the top two teams, the Celtics and the Bucks, and then there's everybody else. How much did those two trades change the landscape of the East?
Well, I don't know when you're trading Malcolm Brogdon, who was already Sixth Man of the Year, and you're getting Drew Holiday. I mean, it's kind of – you created a situation where you had to trade Brogdon because you'd mentioned him in trade talks earlier, and then it didn't happen, and then he was irked, which is one reason these things shouldn't really be leaked to the media. They should be kept internal. But so you had to deal with that. So you go out and get a guy who's, I mean, Drew Holiday is as tough as they come in that second tier of NBA starting point guards. No one's going to complain about that. He slides in. You can either start him or, I mean, perhaps he'll come off the bench. If it were me, I would start him. But you do have lots of options if you're Boston. So, you know, I think as we talked about before, Damian Lillard brings Milwaukee up. I mean, I'll pick him to win if Damian can and will play a full season. And he has mentioned more than a few times that part of the reason he didn't play a lot of those games that he didn't play in Portland was because they had a metric that was suggesting perhaps he might get hurt, or they were trying to lose games to improve their draft, blah, 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 whatever. They weren't really related to him being seriously injured. So if he's allowed to actually play through some things and can put up, you know, 70 games or more, then Milwaukee's my pick to win the East. I don't care, because you're still, if you're Boston, you're still relying an awful lot on Kristaps Porzingis to make that a whole thing work with all the big men that left. So that's a prick. I'd rather bet on Damian Lillard's health than Kristaps Porzingis' health. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. By the way, do you put the equation of Brogdon being irked? It's like going to a woman and go, I think we're going to break up, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, we're going to break up. That's a good idea. You know, that's how I sort of look at that.
That's tough. I mean, when you're evaluating player for player, sometimes you have to look a little deeper to really differentiate. And in this case, I think that injury history is the thing that is like, well, if he's going to be hurt, and those games are going to matter so much. If you're Boston trying to win the conference, have the best record in the conference, you need somebody who's going to be dependable more often than not. And there's every reason to believe that Drew Holiday will be that player for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's, they actually have a true point guard. Marcus Smart was a good point guard, but you were not going to get 15 and 20 points out of him plus the 10 assists.
No,
and Drew Holiday brings a totally different dimension, and it takes pressure off of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which, you know, like, listen, you're making $300 million in your contract. Jaylen Brown deserves
it's
more
pressure.
he deserves all the pressure he can get.
Right.
But you know, that's the only news that really came out of the East this past week since we recorded our last show. You know, the Western Conference, man, it's, you want to talk about it, it's a weird time to play out in the West. It really is a weird time to play out in the West, because like you and I had discussed it yesterday. I don't know what to make of some of the moves that were made out West. Like you were talking about Derrick Rose. Let's start with the Memphis Grizzlies just because it's right there. The Memphis Grizzlies, the Ja Morant situation, look, it's going to take care of itself eventually. You know,
yeah, they'll wind up trading him. I mean, that's what's going to happen. They'll wind up trading him.
Yeah, and it's a shame too because he did so much there. But I think you're right. I think you can't go into this season. I'm surprised they haven't done it already. But I don't think you can go into this season with him with the his situation lingering over the way it is.
Well, I think the unfortunate thing there is it's really not Ja. My guy in Memphis who has been there since they drafted him, it's really not Ja at all. It's the people that he chooses to keep company with. But he's not willing to change that. So therefore, it is what it is. And you just can't have that volatility. You can't not know if your player is going to be there. He's the best. I mean, my God, he's the best young point guard in the league. There's no question about that. But when you don't know what external forces are going to prevent him from being a part of your team at any given time and lapses in judgment that might impact your team,
yeah,
you just can't do that.
I'm sorry. And not only that, but I also want to throw this out there too. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Iverson with a better jump shot.
Well, yeah. I mean, you put the ball in his hands and it's going to happen. But
yeah,
the league is a little less tolerant of some of the things that they were tolerant of when Iverson was not with the guns and all that. The league, that never was acceptable. But yeah, there's a lot more scrutiny. And I think additionally, and we see this across our culture, the inundation of social media to where now guys, even when they're not on the basketball court, or maybe they're not even in the locker room, they're doing things, you know, kind of dumb kid things. And now it's out there for everybody to see. And now you have to deal with it. Whereas 20 years ago, if that had happened, it wouldn't have been on, nobody would have been standing there filming it. It wouldn't have been on social media. And then it's not a big ordeal for the league and the team to deal with. So
I had to ask you, why is it different for his situation than it was for Gilbert Arenas' situation?
Yeah, I don't see a difference personally.
It's a fair thing. That was the you get off of Memphis and get on to the next team bell. I like what Memphis did. Derrick Rose is a solid backup. You know, they lost Dylan Brooks, but I think they were happy to show Dylan Brooks the door, especially after all the trouble he was causing during the regular season in the playoffs. Dylan Brooks seemed like a guy who didn't want to be in Memphis, and at the end, Memphis really didn't want him in their locker room. So I think that's what that came down to.
He's saying all the right things in Houston. He was great for Canada over the summer, and I mean, the Rockets kind of need an edge. They need toughness. They certainly need defense. So maybe he needed a change of scenery. Maybe that'll help him have a different perspective, or at least maybe he's on a team that might fit better than what it was fitting in Memphis.
Yeah, I think also too, you know, you have a guy like Desmond Bane, who's the perfect professional. He comes out and does all the right things. What kind of market is there for a guy like Ja Morant if they decide to move him?
Well, right now the answer is questionable. But if we get to the All-Star break, someone's going to get hurt. Somebody that's supposed to be, you know, Damian Lillard's going to get hurt. Somebody who is supposed to be in the run for a championship is going to lose a guard, a key guard. And they're going to look at that situation and say, well, does he get us into the championship? Maybe it's the Lakers. Are the Lakers missing LeBron? You know, something will happen that will cause a team that expects to contend. And in the West, there's a lot of them, like more than half of the conference you look at right now before preseason starts, before training camp is even over. I can look at about five or six teams that you think this team could realistically expect that they might be in the finals this year. And if one of those teams that really has their heart set on it loses a key player, especially a guard, that's when they start to go, well, how bad do we want to win? We want to win really bad. So maybe we make a deal for Ja Morant and hope that a change of scenery helps him.
I'll tell you what team might. Well, you know what? Do we want to? Do I want to bring? I'll save it for when we get to that team. I just saw it. I'm like, oh man! But because he's still on that contract structure, I think it's the last year of his rookie contract, so it becomes very affordable.
Yeah,
a team, one team that will probably pull the trigger on it because they're in desperation mode. But before we do that team, let's talk about the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets. Man, you and I were talking about it last night. They did not lose much.
Nope.
The Denver Nuggets with Jokic back, Murray, the experience to me, having the long playoff run and winning a championship makes them a very scary team because they're still very young too.
Well, for real, and they added some nice guard play, some nice depth over the summer, which was critical. They lost Bruce Brown, so they shored up their depth. And you've got a team that now has won, as you mentioned, at the highest level. The confidence is sky high. Yes, the target on their back is there because they're the defending champs. But they're not a team that relied. I mean, Jokic was the linchpin in the middle, but he didn't have to lead them in scoring every night. You know, Aaron Gordon can lead you in scoring, or Jamal Murray, or, you know, they have lots of options. And when you have a team where the offense is that diversified and you have a proven coach now, and your bona fide superstar that is not a guy who misses games. It always comes down to who's going to be healthy, right? So Jamal Murray stays healthy. Jokic stays healthy. The key guys are all there. Man, you know, Denver is certainly there. I wouldn't bet against them repeating as Western Conference champs for any amount. I just wouldn't.
And what scares me about their team is, yes, you have Aaron Gordon, you have Porter Jr., you have Murray, you have Jokic. Those are a lot of weapons that teams like the Celtics and the Bucks would have a very difficult time matching up with. Just Jokic by himself.
They have nothing. That's the whole thing with relying on Porzingis. You can't deal with Embiid. You can't deal with Jokic. You can't deal with Giannis. Like, there's a lot of problems I thought the Celtics needed to address that they didn't. Jokic is the piece that there aren't many teams in the West. Maybe the Lakers, if Anthony Davis is healthy. Maybe, but there aren't too many teams in the West that can really deal with Jokic.
Well, as you say that, and now I get that because you're a Houston Rockets fan and you grew up with the old school Rockets with Hakeem Olajuwon. It's crazy that we're saying that's the old school, but that is old school.
It is.
Do we dare say Jokic is the modern day Olajuwon because he can take you inside, he can take you outside, and he plays defense?
I think he is very much like Olajuwon in the mold of Tim Duncan. Also in the mold of Yao Ming. Because these are all guys who understood spacing and they understood and the team around them was built so that their passing strength was maximized with lots of nice shooters and lots of, you know, scorers around them. And I think when you look at the way Tim Duncan controlled the game from the power forward position, people like to call him a center, whatever. He called himself a power forward. Hakeem controlled it absolutely from opening tip to final buzzer. The ball was controlled. The flow of the game was controlled by Olajuwon, and that is exactly Jokic too. And all of these guys had a touch around the basket. They weren't just dunkers. They had a multifaceted offensive threat in their arsenal. So, man, when you've got the right team around these guys, as Jokic does, they're just about impossible to stop. As we saw, they had the best record in the West, I think, the entire year last year. We kept waiting in this space. We kept saying, well, Denver's still in the lead, but who's going to take him? No one ever did. And Jokic is the key to that.
Yeah, I think he is too. And there's a reason why he's the MVP.
No doubt.
Yeah, there's definitely a reason why he's the MVP. Moving on to the Sacramento Kings, they were the third seed in the West. I still feel that they're missing a veteran presence in their locker room. That's a young team that played way above probably where they should have last year. 35-6 at home, 48-34. I apologize, wrong line there. 48-34, 23-18 at home. 25-16 on the road. So they won two more games on the road. And they were an astonishing, they were 32-20 against the Western Conference. Sacramento Kings, Bill, what do they need to take the next step?
Well, there were two things they needed to take the next step, and they took them. They needed coaching. They needed culture.
Yeah.
Mike Brown brought in, of course, Mike Brown, having many years of playoff basketball under his belt, both with Cleveland and then with Golden State. And the first thing he did was establish a culture. And that culture, I mean, look at the difference. You know, the Kings were the team that you were just waiting for them to draft another great player so you could steal that player from them later when they were too dumb to build around him, right? And we've even seen, you know, comments from some of their guys now that, man, well, at least we're not all looking over our shoulders waiting to see who's traded. So when you've got that much talent, and by the way, Domantas Sabonis, son of Arvydas Sabonis, also one of these types of centers we're talking about who could control the game with their passing, their understanding of spacing, and Sabonis is rounding into that kind of player already in his young career. And you're playing with arguably the best point guard in the West. I mean, my God, you've got power forward depth. You've got shooters. I do like Harrison Barnes as a veteran. Now, is he the most vocal guy? I don't really know that. When he was younger, he was not a vocal guy. He was not vocal in Dallas, and he wasn't vocal in Golden State, but both of those places had plenty of vocal leadership going on. So is that something that he is growing into, something Mike Brown has challenged him to do? Would have been the question I asked if I'd been in Sacramento on media day, because you're right, that's it. But man, the talent is all there. That's another team you're like, well, I could see them in the finals.
Yeah.
I could.
Yeah, they just ran into a veteran team in the playoffs. I think they just had more experience than they had.
Absolutely. And now they've been in the playoffs and they've lost. That's the first one, right? Now you come back. Okay, we've been here. This time we get out of the first round and the Kings have won. If they get out of the first round, wow, look at the progress they've made. If they get beyond that, man, even more.
Now, Bill, I'm going to ask you on how you want to do this. Do you want to do a trivia question and then go back to like the next team, or you want to do the trivia questions all at one shot?
Let's do a trivia question and then the next team.
Okay. Since you're a Houston Rockets guy, I think it's appropriate that we do it this way. All right. Here's the first question that's on the screen. Let's see. I know you'll get this one. This is an easy one. We'll start you off easy. There it is on the screen.
And then who was the Ivory Tower?
Yeah.
Because you had Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon were the Twin Towers, but coming off the bench was the Ivory Tower, Jim Peterson.
I didn't know that one. I didn't know that, but I saw this question and I was like, I'll throw this one out there for Bill and I'll know he'll get that one. Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next team on the list is the Phoenix Suns. And we were talking about Ja Morant. I said this would probably be a deal that they would try to pull off if this trio does not work early on. If they have the opportunity and Ja Morant becomes available,
This is the team I really last year, yes, contenders. Then they made all the trade and blew up the team, and then they added Bradley Beal. And now I'm like, wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think that this, if they decided to do that, I think Beal would be the odd man out. And bringing Ja Morant in, because what you're doing is also knowing that Durant only has a couple of years, a Morant and Booker backcourt becomes very intriguing. But you gave away your front court. Well, you have Nurkic now. You have some pieces after these trades. If they didn't make, you look at this trade that they just made that helped bring Nurkic and some of these other players in there, you feel a little bit more comfortable about the supporting cast.
Well, I like Nurkic. I like Nurkic a lot better than Ayton for a couple of reasons. The downside with Nurkic is he does have a tendency to get hurt and miss games, but he's tougher. He's going to go after the ball, not when he feels like it, but he feels like it all the time. He's going to go. He's a junkyard dog in that way. And he's not going to complain if he's not averaging 20 points a game, which he's not going to. It's like Ayton thought he was going to have a lot of touches when you're playing. Really? Okay. So, plus, when you put him in a position to score and he doesn't do the right thing with the ball, that makes, Portland have fun with that. Yeah, so, yeah. They overpaid him, and then he couldn't fill the role they needed him to fill, which they really should have known. So, Nurkic will do that. You know, you can have everybody else shooting what they're going to do. They're going to shoot a bunch of threes. And then you've got Nurkic down there to clean it up and get second chance points.
Yeah. And I like the idea of what Nurkic brings to Durant and Booker. Again, Beal is to me is the wild card. And God forbid something happens, Morant is still on a rookie contract. So yeah. He becomes affordable, and you can make that work. You might be able to make that work without, but I don't know how many much more assets Phoenix has at this point. I look at Phoenix being in that 4-5 conversation and a second round possible exit for next year. Okay, yeah. Bill, trivia question number 2. Let's see if you get this one. Who's the only player in NBA history to record
more the greatest defender in the history of the NBA? His name is hanging from the rafters at Toyota Center, and his name, Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. Yes.
I figured you'd like that question. So next team, and this is where it gets fun for everybody because we talked about him in the beginning of the show, the Los Angeles Clippers, ladies and gentlemen. And if you listen very closely, Kawhi just missed 2 more games. Okay. So with that being said, when is this experiment going to officially work with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and now you're adding Russell Westbrook still with the mix? And, you know, they have depth. That's the one thing you can say about Kawhi and Paul George being out as long as they have. These guys have gotten run, so they're used to having big minutes. That's why I do think this might be a better year for the Clippers if you can get Kawhi to commit to 50 games. And I say not play. If you get him to commit to 50 games, we're going to play around that point. Like Anthony Davis just recently came out and says, my goal is to play 82 games. Man, you haven't accomplished that goal your whole entire career, my friend, because it's not happening.
In one season?
Yeah. I just want to play 82 games for the rest of my career. We can do that for you, my friend. We can do that.
Yep.
Bill, Lawrence Frank, is always going to get a little bit of a pass in my head for the job he did with these guys during the Eastern Conference Finals runs, the NBA Championship runs, what he did as an assistant coach, and the job he did as a head coach. Yep. I as much as he gets a pass in my head for that, this Clippers team is very poorly constructed. And as far as your superstars are concerned.
Yeah, because you have redundant guys. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are essentially the same player. And they look better when one of them is out and the other one is in. In fact, they look better when Kawhi is out and Paul George is in, honestly. But having them together, they don't mesh that well together. Two wing players that are both trying to dominate the scoring. And the biggest thing to me with Kawhi is when you've got a guy, he misses games and you don't know why, and the team is not told why. I was working with the Spurs a lot when they went through this with him, and when he was young, before he was injury prone and he got hurt. And then you're like, well, okay, where is he? And Pop would just throw up his hands because he's like, I just don't know. That's why they traded him. Like, we got to get rid of you because we just don't know. When you're here, it's great. But
how often are you here?
And when you're not here, we don't know why not. And sometimes our training staff says there's a reason, and sometimes they say there's not, and that doesn't necessarily correlate to whether you're there or not. I just can't do that. For me, as a GM, as a coach, the Clippers are better off. I mean, and that's going to be why they underachieve again this year, because Russell Westbrook will bring it every night, and he'll play 75 games. Paul George will bring it every night, but he'll be hurt a lot because he's older and he's at that point.
And he'll bring you 60 games maybe at most.
And if you get 55 or 60 games from Paul George, great. But Kawhi, I don't know. There's no telling how many. No. I mean,
not doing it. I'm not doing it. No. Nope. Yeah. My question to you is, are they better or worse than they were last year? They finished the 4th seed at 44 wins.
I think the rest of the West has gotten better. There are so many teams that have improved, and they're going to slide. Even if they're as good as they were last year, they're not going to win as many games because other teams have gotten better.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
You're not going to walk through the Rockets. They're not going to be an easy win this year. The Spurs may not be an easy win this year. Some of the games that you just mark off the calendar and figure we're going to win these games, those aren't going to happen because the West is very deep and very tough. And you've got, I mean, even Portland, who knows? Half that team is a win now team. And if Ayton flourishes, even Portland might not be an easy win. So you can't be slightly better than last year and think you're going to be better in the standings because the rest of the West is better. They got better.
I think the only way they're going to be able to compete is if Kawhi plays 60 games, and you and I both know it's not going to happen.
If you tell me Kawhi is going to play 60 or 70 games, man, Clippers are top four for sure.
No.
Can't tell me that. Never.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the next question. It's a tough one.
Which player scored 13 points in the final 35 seconds of a game for a comeback win over the San Antonio Spurs? He is currently – this is not a Rocket, is it? Oh, yes. It was Tracy McGrady.
Man, I thought this was going to be the one I got to stump you on.
I was at the game. Man. I was at that game. At first, I was thinking Steve Kerr, but that was Mavs. He did that for the Spurs, beating the Mavs, something similar to that.
Yep.
But then I was like, wait, if it's Rockets, it's Tracy McGrady. I was at that game. Yeah.
Man, I thought I was going to get you on that one. I really did.
The Rocket guy.
Yeah, I throw a couple of Nets questions out there. You'll see that blank look on your face real quick. All right, the next team. Man, you and I were discussing this last night as well. The Golden State Warriors. And, man, I think it's perfectly fine to throw five guys under the height of 6'8 on the floor and expect to win championships. What are they doing?
When I heard they got Chris Paul, my immediate reaction was, okay, and they're sending him where?
Yeah, that's
because that if there was reaction. Anyone the Golden State Warriors didn't need, well, I mean, if he was happy to take a secondary role coming off the bench, that would make a lot of sense for Chris Paul. If the Warriors had more front court depth, that would make a lot of sense for Chris Paul because he too is at that stage of his career where he's going to miss games. And by the time you try to make a deep playoff run, is he still going to be around when you get to the Western Conference Finals? If he has started and played 30 some odd minutes a night? No, absolutely not. He hasn't been able to do that too much even when he was younger. So if it was a platoon situation to where now Steph only has to play 28 to 32 minutes and Chris can play 28 to 32 minutes and Clay, his usage drops. And hopefully you've got Gary Payton Jr. is going to be healthy. And okay, that starts to make some sense. But the concept of starting the three, Clay, Steph, and CP3, starting them together.
Doesn't work.
Ooh,
but also have Andrew Wiggins and then Draymond Green as the other two. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't either. They needed. It's too bad that Dwight Howard and DeMarcus Cousins, like they brought in some guys looking for size help, rebounding, and some defense, and they didn't. I mean, that's what they need right now. You're looking at the roster, going, okay, this must be like July, and we're about to get into free agents, like they're going to address this. And now here we are. And
nothing was addressed. Well, Mike Dunleavy.
No, but I think they're going to take themselves out with just injuries. I believe
Mike Dunleavy is still very nervous about his job.
Yeah. Like
he said, he admitted when he took the job.
He got off to a rough start, and the rough start, it's still rough. Yeah.
Yeah. We only have two questions left. I want to sort of save the last two questions as we get further down the line here. Okay. The Los Angeles Lakers are next. And like I've been preaching to the choir about the Lakers on how they were the team up until 2 weeks ago that made the most moves to improve themselves to get themselves back into championship form. I like the moves that they made. It just feels like the guys they trade from LeBron's attitude, he wants the opportunity to play for a championship. Those there's not much tread left on those tires for LeBron, and same thing with Anthony Davis. So I think, what do you think their window is now? I think maybe a two years of Davis and LeBron left, and then they're trying to pass the torch on to some of these young guys.
I think that's a reasonable estimate to make. What I like about the offseason, unlike last year when the big move was bring in Russell Westbrook, who didn't fit with, as we said a year ago in this space, before training camp started, even,
When we heard that deal happened, you and I looked at each other, we're like now?
No.
Like, no. this is not NBA 2K, where like, no. Okay, we're going to put everybody together. No, that move did not work. But I look
at
the same
thing. They didn't do that this year. This year they've gotten deeper in places where they needed to be deep. They've added front court depth. They've added back court depth. Now if LeBron misses a game, maybe Hashimura comes in and you don't lose that game. I mean, they've got it this year.
I tell you too, like, the Russell Westbrook move, man, I'm going to get beat up for saying it. Screw it. I'll say it anyway. It felt like a LeBron suggestion. Let's go out and get Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
This felt like these moves that were made, you re-sign Reeves, you bring Russell back, you're getting some of these other guys here, adding the depth. This felt like it was a GM putting a team together, not players saying, we got to go out and get this. I think
Austin that's the perfect example. The Lakers don't need a superstar point guard. They need continuity, and they need a guy who has proven himself time and time again, as Austin Reeves did. Man, I wanted him on the Rockets in the worst way. I'm happy with Fred VanVleet, but I had Austin Reeves' name, highlighted in my free agency wish list. So he's a big part of why I think the Lakers fans can, I mean, again, put a gun to my head, I'm picking Denver, but I sure think it's going to be Denver versus the Lakers.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they did a great move. I think they're definitely going to be above 50 wins this year. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And let's see what happens. Health is going to be a very big thing with that. But if Davis and LeBron have to miss, at least they're not left out on an island this year. Bill, this next team is really confusing to me of what they're trying to do. This is a franchise that has not had culture for a long time. They have always had some good talent, but it always goes back to, we're going to watch them develop here and then see what happens, is the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think they did a good move by re-signing Anthony Edwards to a long-term deal this summer. But the trade from last year for Rudy Gobert is still it's going to haunt this franchise for a long time. What do you make of this team? Can this team get on the right page? And do you think they need to make a coaching change to sort of set the dynamic for this organization? It's like, they made the playoffs the last 2 years.
It's a Billy King type of move. Is really what with your Nets shirt on.
Billy.
The problem is I don't have a whole lot of faith that I don't know what coach could make sense out of that, because you have two guys. First of all, if I got to bet on somebody, I'll bet on, you know what Rudy Gobert is going to bring you. He's going to bring you both ends of the floor, and especially the defensive end. Karl Anthony Towns, he's going to shoot the ball a lot and give you a lot of points, but the defensive end, I think this is somebody he's got to be on the market by the trade deadline. I mean, he's got to be, because before you can judge a coach, you got to give him a roster that makes sense. And right now, I love Anthony Edwards. I mean, no question. He's one of the best young players in the league, but you haven't put players around him to really maximize his talent. Aside from Mike Conley, I did like that move. But when you got two roadblocks standing in the front, that doesn't work in the modern NBA, and that's what we were saying about it at the time. Like, in 1985 or 6, that would be great. But then again, back then, Karl Anthony Towns would have to defend or he couldn't be on the floor. So, yeah, that's not a playoff team, not without a major, major, major move.
Yeah, and I think that move has to be made fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. The next team is a team that you're gushing over. You are gushing over the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
Like that, you have to give the devil his due. they are following what they did when Durant, Westbrook, and Harden came into the league. They are going to take their young guys, keep the salary structure where it is. They're not going to go out and make some big moves, and they're going to let their guys grow and built. And I thought last year them making the play-in and winning a game in the play-in tournament to play in the playoffs, or to at least get into that, to make round one.
Yep.
A good step. A good step for that organization.
They were super competitive last year. The second half of the season, they were winning games. They really, no one thought they should be winning. They were tough as nails. They didn't back down from anybody. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, you know, when you look at the best young point guards in the league, it's, to me, it's Ja Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are neck and neck. Man, he'd be a great piece to build a team around. And Sam Presti, to his credit, recognize that he has built, he's brought in the right pieces, he's drafted the right guys, and add Chet Holmgren into the mix now. And if he's, by the time you get to midseason, if he's starting to look like the player that we all think he's going to be, the Thunder are going to be serious trouble in the postseason.
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think also with the Oklahoma City Thunder, the one thing that they still have from past the Scotty Brooks time and the Billy Donovan time is they still have a culture, and it's young players first, because they know they're not going to be able to compete with the big boys as far as the money and everything else that is concerned. All right,
yeah.
Let's see if you can get this question right, Bill.
More than 900 assists in a season. The first Rocket to do that was probably.
I might get him.
John Lucas.
He is second on the list.
Is he second?
He's second. He didn't reach 900.
Oh, okay. So number one was.
This name's going to shock you, and it's also going to disgust you at the same time.
Really? Yeah. It's going to disgust me?
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who would disgust me.
Ready?
Yeah.
James Harden.
Oh, was it really Harden? Well, he did. He did get a lot of assists. That's true. And that does kind of just, yeah. Because I was thinking, John Lucas was a part of so many great, you know, really, really competitive teams before the drug deal that got him ousted. But, and now he's a great part of the team as in the coaching staff. And he's been working with those players forever off when he wasn't on the coaching staff. So, yeah, but okay. Yeah, James Harden.
I told you you'd be disgusted. I didn't throw that one in there by like on purpose. All right, next up is the New Orleans Pelicans. Man, this is the what if not type of teams at this point. You got CJ McCollum, you got Brandon Ingram, you got Zion Williamson. I just don't know what to make of this team. This team should be competing for the top of the Western Conference. They're now competing to get their starting five out in the court for more than 10 games at a time. Zion Williamson, I have not heard anything yet as far as whether he's even in camp this year. They're keeping it so on the down low because of the criticism. Do we start putting Zion Williamson in that conversation of number one pick busts? Because he can't stay on the court. When he's on the court, he plays well. But this is something that I knew from when he played with Duke. And they know it too.
They did.
When he played Duke towards the end of his one season there, he got hurt. He didn't make it through his rookie season. He got hurt. He's been hurt every single year. Do we consider him a bust?
I think this is the year. This is his last chance to not be a bust. And I did do some looking, really trying to dig and figure out what was going on with him. I wrote a piece for the Hardwood Huddle. And basically I said, the Pelicans don't deserve their fate, and they don't. David Griffin has done the right thing. He came in and they got the first pick right away. He made the pick that any of the 30 NBA GMs had the number one pick that year. They picked Zion Williamson. Well, he might get hurt. None. It was Zion's the pick.
If he would have done anything else, he would have gotten ran out of town. That's exactly what it would have been. Yeah.
So it's not the team's fault or David Griffin's fault that Zion is not going to play. Now, what I've been kind of digging, reading, trying to figure out, the thing that I think means the most about Zion's return timetable, he said this: I can't return until I feel like Zion Williamson. And he was asked then by someone, well, what does that mean? He said, I don't know. It means when I go out there, I feel like myself. And right now I don't. Well, how long will it take you to feel like yourself? I don't know. To me, that's really, really bad news.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram, last year, my cousin, last year nursed a toe injury for much longer. Everyone was asking themselves, you don't see the resemblance? Everyone was asking themselves.
He's a little taller than you, Bill. He's a little taller than you.
Just a little. But I just, man, on paper, last year, I thought they were last year, the Pelicans are going to be a tough team to beat. Then Brandon spends all that time sitting out with an injury that was supposed to be days and turned into weeks. You got Zion, who's not going to play till he feels like Zion, and no one knows what that means. And it's just going to be a bad year for CJ McCollum left holding the bag on this. And I feel bad. I feel bad for the whole organization because they've made the right moves. That when they got McCollum, he was the, like, there you go. Bam. That's number three. Boom. You got Zion. You got Ingram. McCollum is the third. You've got the perfect trio talent-wise. And the best laid plans.
I personally love them. They were midway through December. They were the number one team in the Western Conference.
Yep.
And then the curse of Zion continued. You just don't want that. But look, I hope them. If they're healthy, I can picture them being a top six team.
Definitely. Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're healthy. But.
Yep. Now the for the West Conference. We now interrupt our playoffs to the bottom five of the conference. We'll start with the Mavericks. Look, wherever the Mavericks drama seems, whether it's Kyrie Irving, whether it's Mark Cuban, something always seems to be afoot with the Mavericks. And look, the end of the day, there was no reason originally last season that this team should not have missed playoffs with that type of talent, but now you let Christian Wood walk away for nothing to the Lakers. Yep. You have you wave JaVale McGee. You have no height on your team, but good news, you re-sign Kyrie Irving, who wishes he would have been there from day one, and you have Luka Doncic, who's now getting frustrated with the organization for their lack of commitment for one win. This is a recipe for disaster. I give Jason Kidd 30 games into the season until he's let go. And that's a bold prediction. 30 games in and Jason's gone.
This is the kind of team that could make Luka Doncic want to return to EuroLeague.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's out there. And that is out there right now. That is really out there right now.
Because
he wants to go back.
He wants to win in the worst way. And he would rather, if he can go to Europe and dominate in Europe, he can be the best player on the team and his team can dominate. In the NBA, that's not how that works. And we know this. We've seen it over and over again. You can have as many triple doubles as you want to have. If the team around you is not the right team, you're not going to win. And this is not the right team. Kyrie Irving was not very much like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I don't like Kyrie Irving with Luka Doncic. You're going to start Grant Williams. You're going to start a 6'6 guy at center. You're going to start a rookie draft pick from the mid-teens at center. No, you're going to start. I don't know. They didn't want to give up Hardy. That's a good move. He's a nice piece. But, I mean, Hardaway Jr. is a nice piece, but it's kind of redundant talent. You don't have bruising. You don't have rebounding. You don't have a space taker, a space eater for the paint. You don't have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a headache. You're looking at it going, they're looking at it going, but we have Luka and Kyrie.
I want so badly to like I love Luka. And of course, being in Dallas, and I can go to any game I want to go to. I really want to like the Mavs. Unfortunately,
they're not helping you.
It's just another season where the front office has completely and utterly failed. At least with Dirk, building around a big man with the number of talents and abilities that Dirk Nowitzki had made it easier to compete at a time where you were going up against other teams that had power forwards. Like, I mean, Tim Duncan, of course, was the one they were always battling with, but point guards, all the team, many of the teams in the West have great point guards. You can't just, it can't just be that. You've got to have front court talent too. This is the problem the Warriors have too. You've got to have front court talent too. And the Mavs, their inability with Dirk, it was like that game they, with Kevin Bacon, the three layers of Kevin Bacon, where you can't, you can name an actor and he's been in a movie with someone who's been in a movie with Kevin Bacon. That was the Dirk Nowitzki NBA. Every player in the league played on a team with someone who had played with Dirk, because the Mavs just signed all the rest of the free agents every year and hoped.
Yeah, I remember they had, I remember they had, they had Dirk, they had Jason, they had Vince, they had Richard, they had everybody. It was like, okay.
Harrison Barnes. I mean, they've had
everybody.
Everybody. Like, so.
You played.
Right. Like, there was a game, Mark's like, here, we need somebody. Okay. So, no, but I don't understand. And then they hired a guy with no NBA front office experience, Nico Harrison. Oh, but all of his contacts from Nike, all those players are going to want to play here, because he wrote them big checks with Nike. No, that doesn't work. I'm sorry. I really want to like the Mavericks. I really like Luka Doncic. I wish he'd play a little defense. I wish he'd stop complaining to the refs, but he's arguably the most talented offensive player in the NBA. He's astounding. Watching him is art in motion on the offensive end, but they just have utterly failed yet again to put a team around him that has any shot of being successful. And you've got a coach who doesn't know what the heck he's, I mean, okay. No, I don't think Dallas will make the playoffs this year.
No, I don't think so. No, I can just sum her up. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
I'd pull my hair out, except yeah.
Yeah. I got to ask you about, because we'll skim through these last four teams real quick. Utah Jazz, Danny Ainge has a plan. He just doesn't want to share it with the rest of the world, not even his own staff. Are you looking for – is this going to be one of those situations where you're just watching Utah like they've been over the last 5 or 6 years, and once they homegrown a talent, pick it from them, you draft picks, and you can just take – is that another season like that?
Well – when you decide you're going to rebuild, you need to really commit to it and rebuild. Not, I mean, granted,
win 30 games.
I don't think anyone expected Markkanen to become one of the big franchise players in the league. Well, accidentally, he sort of does kind of look that way. So then I think that threw a kink in the rebuild plan, because they were too good to rebuild, but they weren't good enough to really compete at a high level. So
I have this mental picture of Danny Ainge walking in. Didn't anyone tell you guys you were supposed to suck?
Yeah, exactly. So I think Utah's going to win some games. They're going to win some games they maybe shouldn't win, but they're going to win some games. John Collins, are you rebuilding, or are you like, John Collins is a win now player. Markkanen is better than anybody thought he would be. And unlike Jeremy Lin, he's done it. He's sustained it. He didn't come in and surprise everybody and then fall back to his, you know, norm once the league adjusted. He had kept adjusting, and he continued to be one of the best players in the league. So then you bring in John Collins, who's a win now guy who will rebound. Man, the Mavs could have used John Collins. Yeah, like Utah, you're rebuilding, you're okay. What is it that you're doing again? Because they are going to win some games, but I don't think they can win a playoff series.
I think so either. I think it's a big problem. Discussing Portland, but they might surprise people, but I'm not bet to have to talk about it, because I think half that team might get traded in 2 weeks again anyway. So yeah. I'm not really, yeah, you know, that they're a wild card. Let's real quick jump on the two Texas teams, give you your last trivia question, and we're out. Okay. The Houston Rockets.
I love the Rockets. I've always loved the Rockets. There have been times where I also hated them. Usually that was during Daryl Morey's tenure as GM, and Philadelphia 76ers fans are now feeling my pain. However, we have recovered from the Morey years. The young draft picks have all started to look good, with the exception of KPJ, who now is not going to be with the team due to external things, but also at a time where you don't need him, because the addition of Fred VanVleet gives them the solid, actual, true point guard with playmaking skills, unlike the Steve Francis mold that Kevin Porter Jr. was in. Jalen Green, I think he is going to benefit more from Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet than anyone. I mean, I think Jalen Green's going to have an incredible year. I think he's going to be a top five shooting guard in the league because he's now ready, right? So you've put, I love the front court, Şengün, one of the most underrated centers. Now he's going to be the starting center. It's going to go through him. They've got a much better coach at the helm. You've with championship experience, you've got a true point guard, also been on an extremely successful team up in Toronto. They have the ability now to put a winning culture in place. If you can channel Dylan Brooks to where his defensive prowess and that chip on his shoulder helps the team instead of hurting it, this could be a special year for the Rockets. But you're still an awful lot of young guys. Yeah, so I think they're going to make the playoffs very young. Rough, but they're going to win 10 more games than last year.
Yeah, I think if you win 35 games, this is a winning season. This is a win for the Rockets.
Yeah,
in my honest opinion. San Antonio, look, you and I were talking about Pop yesterday as well. I love Pop. Pop has put some of the best pranks ever in NBA history on national television.
On media.
Between Craig Sager and the Hack a Shack in the first 20 seconds when Shaquille played. We questioned if he was just crazy or if he had a plan because he traded Devontae Murray. We didn't understand why. Look, Wemby watches on. I give you my opinion. I think if this is done the right way, he could be in 2 to 3 years, he's going to be a top player in the NBA. He's got the skill set from what I'm seeing. It's whether or not Pop and the rest of the NBA can be patient with him. And that is a real big question, because sometimes it's not just pressure from a team about wanting to win and get people in the stands. But the league right now has about 2 years left of LeBron James, 2 or 3 years left of LeBron being the face of the league. And yep. We don't know who's taking that mantle yet. And if they want to try and throw their, hitch their wagon to a guy like Wemby, they got to give him time to really develop. Because they hitched their wagon to Kobe, and it took him 4 years from his game to really step up. But then from a mental mentality, Kobe didn't really become a leader in the NBA until he was about 29, 30 years old. Yeah. That's when he really fully understood it. So the mentality of being the face of the league, LeBron can tell you, his first stint in Cleveland, he was the face of the league, and he didn't win nothing.
Nope.
It took him to go to college in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. That's how he phrased it. It was like going away to college for 4 years, and then he came home and he helped win in Cleveland, and then helped win in LA. So yeah. Wemby needs time. Your take on what I'm yelling out.
The biggest concern for me with Wemby is how many times I have seen a super tall, super skinny kid come into the NBA and his body not be able to take the pounding. I mean, that's more often the case than it's not. Ralph Sampson had that issue. Yao Ming, who is not super skinny, but super tall, his legs, his feet, his ankles couldn't take the pounding. So on the one hand, Wemby is quite skinny, and he's going to get pushed around. Even in summer league, they adjusted pretty quick to his game.
He's either going to be pushed over by a forward, or if they leave the door open and a good gust of wind could take him right away.
It will. And it's windy in Texas, let me tell you. So, patience is going to be key. He's going to need to hit the weight room. Karl Malone, remember his transformation? He played a little bit and went, oh my God, I can't compete in this league like this. And he buffed up, right? Wimby's going to need to buff up so that he can hold his ground when he's asked to play low in the lower part of the court, which presumably is where, he's got the point guard skills, but it's awfully easy to steal the ball from somebody who's dribbling from, 5 feet up. So he's going to have to be effective in the lower area of the court, and he doesn't have the lower body to do that right now, but man, he's quick. He's got all the touches, man. He's an incredible talent. But yes, development is going to be key. And I'd be surprised if he becomes consistently a very productive player in his first year for that reason.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a long while for that to happen. Like I said, give the kid 2 to 3, 4 years. Make him a project. Make him a project, Pop. Come on, Pop. Make him a project. You can do this. You did it with Timmy. You did it with Tony. You can do it with Wemby.
Yep. Scoot Henderson expects to be the rookie of the year, and I don't think his challenger is going to be Wembanyama. I just don't.
No. Here's your last trivia question, Bill.
Okay. That was Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yes. I figured I'd give you the one which I know you're going
to. The only Rocket who's ever produced a triple-double, a quadruple-double.
A quadruple-double, yeah. I threw some easy ones at you today. I only got you on one, which was good. I didn't think you were going to get the McGrady one. I really didn't think you were.
Oh, I remember Tracy. See, what happens is I've blocked James Harden completely out of my – like, when I think Rockets, I don't even see him anymore. I've totally – like, I went through hypnotic trance to just remove – just take James Harden out.
That's how I felt about this. Someone said to me, did you realize that Maurice Cheeks and Bernard King played for the Nets? I was like, yeah, I do remember that. But, like, you had a dig to really remember that. Bernard King was ousted by Washington.
Yeah.
And the Nets were just like, sure, come on in. And at that point, he was carrying his knees in his backpack. That's how bad it was. But yeah, some of those great stories. So guys, this is our Western Conference breakdown. Real quick, until someone proves to me otherwise, unless there's a major injury, I choose the Nuggets coming out of the Western Conference, representing the Western Conference. Are you on the same bandwagon with me, or are you picking someone?
Yeah, I think it, as things look today, the additional roster moves, injuries, blah, blah, blah happen. But as things look today, put a gun to my head, I got to choose Lakers and Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, and I do think it's Denver's return to the NBA Finals. And I really don't think Boston or Milwaukee, I don't see a team in the East that could deal with Jokic.
No, I don't either. With that being said, you guys are listening to the Hardwood Huddle powered by BackSportsPage.com. Feel free to check out the show. We're finding our groove. I think we're finally getting back to it. And I like the trivia questions in between. I feel like it gives you a little bit of a challenge in there and keeps you on your toes. That's what I'm trying to do. So, guys, here, check out the Hardwood Huddle on all your podcast platforms. We really appreciate it. Follow Bill on the old Twitter machine or the X machine, whatever you want to call it, at the Rocket Guy. I'm at Randy BSP. Until next time, we'll see you right here on the Hardwood Huddle.